and steps over the body of his counterpart, like she's a feature of the landscape, and continues toward me. They won't make it in time. I won't either. Which means I've killed us all. But Andarna can live. She just has to hold on, has to choose to survive.
He's almost here, so let's move this along, shall we? The Dark Wielder says, less than a dozen feet away now. The Horde tires of hovering, waiting for permission to attack.
A shape moves in the cliff behind the Dark Wielder. No, not a shape. A part of the cliff itself. A giant boulder? A boulder with slivers of golden eyes. It springs forward from the cliff like a projectile, expanding, changing colors, sprouting wings and claws, and black scales. An excerpt from The Journal of Lyra of Moraine, translated by Cadet Jacinia Neilwart. I am alone in thinking the knowledge of wards, the protections they provide, should not solely benefit Navarre. And it has cost me everything. Chapter 63. The Dark Wielder turns, but he isn't fast enough. Andarna lands directly in front of him, then opens her mouth and breathes fire down upon him, roasting the Dark Wielder before she snaps her jaws down and rips his head straight off his body. I fall into the melting slush at the same time his corpse does, and she spits out the decapitated, smoking head, then huffs a hot breath of sulfur-laced steam.
What the actual fuck? You,
I scramble to my feet and stumble toward her. You just...
I breathe fire, she preens, flaring her wings.
Did you just eat him?
Cat stands but keeps her distance.
You do not speak to dragons, you do not ride, human.
Andarna snaps her teeth in Cat's direction.
You looked like a part of the cliff.
I stare at Andarna like I've never seen her before. Maybe I never have.
I told you I could hide.
She blinks at me. I open my mouth and shut it, searching for words where there are none. That wasn't hiding. Her scales are as black as Tarn's now. Maybe I'm seeing things? Tarn lands to the right, sending slush flying, then looks over our small battlefield with quick appraisal.
You made quick work of it.
She did. I point to Andarna as Sigale and Sleeg land behind Tarn.
You breathe fire,
Tarn acknowledges, a note of pride in his voice.
I breathe fire,
Andarna extends her neck to the fullest.
Melgrin orders us to the Vale.
Tarn's eyes narrow and his head swivels toward Sigale.
They're pulling the whole squad to the Vale? I glance upward, noting there are only two wyvern left in our sector.
The Horde tires of hovering, waiting for permission to attack.
That's what the Dark Wielder said. The final wave hasn't struck yet.
Not the whole squad, just us, Zayden clarifies, walking around Tarn.
Tiny tendrils of steam rise where rain meets the exposed skin of his arms. He looks as tired as I feel, and there's a laceration on his forearm, but the lack of any other visible damage makes my shoulders dip in relief. They haven't sent their last wave yet, and Sawyer and Atrum are already wounded. Moving the two of us leaves the squad and Brennan and the Wardstone too exposed, I shake my head. We can't let that happen. Brennan's our best chance at surviving this.
Exactly, Zayden says as he reaches my side. You're all right?
His arm winds around my shoulders as he presses a hard kiss on my temple.
They're holding their own up there while this wave recedes. We need to argue our point quickly.
I'm all right, I promise. Let's go.
They're out front. We'll meet you there, Tarn says.
Go to Marb,
I tell Andarna, pushing on my left shoulder and rotating the joint to try and ease the sharp pulsing pain deep within the joint.
I will be where you need me,
she huffs. Fine, as long as that's with Marb, I lift my eyebrows.
At a dragon.
She flicks her tail twice, then walks off.
but at least she's headed in the direction of the Wardstone chamber safely below. The halls of Vesgaeth teem with chaos as we pass by a line of griffins and enter the guarded side door beneath the bell tower. My stomach drops. Wounded infantry and riders sit against the wall near this level's entrance to the infirmary in various states of injury, but mostly burns, their cries of pain filling the stone corridor as second and third year healers race from patient to patient. They ran out of beds 20 minutes ago, Cap tells us quietly. Infantry is the heaviest hit so far.
They usually are,
Zayden notes, keeping his gaze focused across the hall on the door that leads to the courtyard and off the dozens of wounded to our right. We stop abruptly as a platoon of infantry races by. The insignia on their collars show them as first years. Violet! Cat grabs hold of my elbow, and I turn toward her, pausing as Zayden pushes open the door. Tell your mother we'll fight in the air if she can stop the rain, and if not, deploy us like the infantry. We have more experience fighting Venon than almost anyone here, and griffins are exceptionally quick on the ground. There's only sheer determination in her brown eyes, so I nod. I'll tell her. She drops her hand and Zayden and I walk into the courtyard. It's pure fucking mayhem as we make our way through the lines of squads in dark blue being briefed by trembling second years. It's as though their ranks have broken and they're cobbling together units with whoever hasn't been injured. Once we reach the center, we have a clear view of the leadership meeting going on just in front of the open gate. At least they could shut the damn gate, one of the infantry cadets shouts at Zayden and me as we pass. Shutting the gate isn't going to help you, Zayden replies, pointing left to the dead body of a wyvern poking through the partially demolished roofline. Even if they were on foot, the 5 seconds it will take for them to get through isn't worth losing the necessary egress. I shoot the second year a sympathetic look and follow Zayden out. You could be a little nicer, softer, he counters, kinder. How the hell is that going to help them? He's not wrong. Hey, a second year in dark blue says from a squad on the right, her gaze flicking over my shoulder. I'm sorry, but he's right. Shutting the gate isn't going to help. I say it as gently as I can. That's not why I stopped you. She points behind me. There's a scribe chasing you down. I turn to see Jacinia jogging toward me in the rain, her hand hidden beneath her robes. She's keeping the journal dry. See if you can talk her into getting somewhere safe, Zayden suggests. In the meantime, I'll start picking the fight without you. He walks into the 30-foot-thick archway that serves as Basgaeth's gate, crossing under the first portcullis and continuing on, immediately gaining the attention of my mother, General Melgrin, and three of his aides standing at the edge of the second portcullis. The tails of their dragon swing just past them, forming a wall half the height of the fortress itself, even more in the case of Coda. You should be, I start signing to Jacinia, then drop my hands when I realize there's nowhere safe for her to be. She grasps my elbow with her free hand and pulls me into the archway, under the portcullis. Leaving the journal within the robes, she pulls her other hand free to sign. I think I found the difference between the two, but I think Lyra's journal is the lie. What did you find? I sign, keeping my back turned toward Melgrin and raising my shields, blocking everyone out, even Taryn and Andarna. I think it's a 7. She lifts her brows at me. But it can't be. I don't understand, I shake my head. 7 what? That's the only difference between the two journals. I thought at first maybe it meant runes, that we'd mistranslated that part, since there are 7 runes on the Wardstone in Erasia, she signs, 2 lines furrowing in her forehead. But I've checked and double-checked. Show me. She nods, then pulls Lyra's journal free and flips to the middle, tapping a symbol in the middle of the page and handing it to me, freeing her hands. That symbol there, it's a 7. But Warwick's says 6, remember? My heart sinks, and I nod slowly. She has to be wrong. This reads, the breath of life of the 7 combined and set the stone ablaze in an iron flame. Shoulders drooping, I sigh. 7 dragons is impossible. there are only 6 dens. Black, blue, green, orange, brown, and red. I hand her the journal. And maybe it's not a 7, maybe you mistranslated? She shakes her head, flipping to the very first page of the journal, then gives it back. Here, she taps the symbols, then lifts her hands. Here is recorded the story of Lyra of the first 6. She taps the 6, then turns the pages to the previous spot in the middle. 7. My lips part. Shit, shit, shit. They're close, she signs. But that's a 7. And there are 7 circles on the wardstone in Erasia. 7 runes, 7. She repeats the last word, as if I could have possibly misunderstood. 7. Thoughts spin in my head too quickly to grab a hold of just one. This journal has to be wrong, she signs when I remain silent. I close the book and hand it to her. Thank you. You should go to the infirmary. Sawyer is there. And if we... She shoves the journal into her robes and begins signing before I finish. Why is Sawyer in the infirmary? Her eyes fly wide. A wyvern took his leg. She inhales swiftly. Go. If we evacuate the wounded, Marin said she'd watch over him. So if we evacuate, that's the safest place for you to be. She'll get you both out. Jacinia nods. Be safe. You too. She picks up her robes and sprints across the courtyard, cutting toward the southernmost door. My head swims as I turn toward leadership gathered at the end of the archway and begin walking. Could it mean a griffin? Is that what it meant by 6 and the 1? No. If a griffin contributed to the wards, flyer magic would work within the boundaries. But there aren't 7 breeds of dragon. I stumble, catching myself with a hand along the stone wall while my brain trips down the path that makes the only sense. Even if that path is ludicrous. But holy shit. I immediately shut the thoughts down before anyone connected to me can break through my shields and catch me thinking them. Absolutely not, Zayden snaps at Melgrin, who stands between 2 of his aides. I put myself in the middle of my mother and Zayden.
You think cadets will be able to defend all this?
Colonel Panchek gesticulates wildly at the air as a green clubtail. My heart seizes as Tiny takes down the last remaining wyvern in their sector. The gray carcass tumbles from the sky and lands somewhere to the northeast, behind the line of dragons.
What are you doing here? Mom asks me as my gaze drifts upward to the line of wyvern hovering in the distance.
Up until now, we've been wounded, but they're undeniably the kill shot. And in the center of their line rests a gaping hole, as if they're waiting for someone.
She's never far from him, Melgrin quips.
Those wyvern are waiting just like the Dark Wielder implied, and my stomach churns at the thought of who they're waiting for.
We're not taking Tarn and Segale to defend the Vale, Zayden announces, folding his arms over his chest. They already have 1st and 2nd wings, plus every unbonded dragon.
Segale and Tarn land to the right, near the tower that leads to Parapet, and all I can do is hope Endarna isn't hiding over there with them, since I don't dare lower my shields to check. For the first time, I'm the one holding what might be the ultimate secret.
You're the reason I can't plan effectively, General Melgrin snaps at Zayden. You're the reason I didn't even see this battle occurring.
He tries to look down his hawkish nose at Zayden, but he's at least an inch shorter.
You're welcome for flying to your aid, Zayden replies, earning a sneer. The Vale is the only thing that matters,
Mom interrupts, shifting slightly so her shoulder is between Melgrin and me.
The archives are already sealed. The rest of the fortress can be rebuilt.
You're going to abandon it,
Zayden says softly, using that cold, menacing tone that used to scare the shit out of me. From the way Panchek steps back, it hasn't lost its edge. Their silence is damning. My gaze jumps from face to face, looking for someone, anyone to argue.
They can launch that line at any moment, Melgrin points to the waiting horde. We have over 60 injured pairs, be it dragon or rider that's wounded. That horde right there will take us as spread out as we are now.
Then why not move every cadet to the Vale?
Zayden challenges. Melgrin narrows his beady eyes.
You might lead a revolution, Ryerson, but you know nothing about winning a war.
At least he called it a revolution and not a rebellion.
You're using them as a distraction.
Zayden drops his arms.
A delaying tactic. They'll die while those in the Vale have time to prepare. Prepare for what, exactly?
My jaw drops.
You can't do that.
I pivot, putting myself in front of Mom.
You won't need to. Brennan has mended the Wardstone.
Even Brennan can't mend magic cadet Sorengale. There's no give, no room to stray from the course in her eyes.
No, I admit, but he doesn't have to. If the stone is mended, it could hold power. We could still raise the wards. I know how.
A curious caress of shimmering shadow slides down my shields, but I don't let him in.
You weren't entirely successful in Erasia, were you?
She asks, lowering her voice so only I hear.
Could isn't good enough.
That part is for a wider audience, and the rebuke heats my cheeks.
I can do it,
I whisper back just as quietly, then raise my voice to be heard.
If you put Zayden and me in the Vale, you leave the Wardstone unprotected. And that is the only solution to keep everyone on this field alive today.
You don't know if it works after being mended, she says slowly, like there's any chance I might misunderstand her. And even if it did,
their leader has arrived,
Taryn tells me. And by the way, every rider's face pivots skyward, including mine. He's not the only dragon who's noticed. There, in the center of the horde, now flies a wyvern slightly larger than the others, bearing a rider in royal blue. The pitch of my stomach says that if he comes closer, I'll recognize his dark, thinning hair and the annoying purse of his lips, even if logic argues that I won't, that it's just a fucking dream. My heart rate soars as fear soaks into my skin, colder than the rain and melting snow around us.
As you can see,
Mom says, tearing her gaze from the horde, it's too late for wards now.
It's not, I argue. Cadet, Mom starts. I can get them up,
I promise, putting myself in her way when she tries to sidestep me.
If they can hold power, then I can get the wards up. Cadet,
Mom snaps, her cheeks turning ruddy.
At least see if the stone can hold power before you sentence all of us to death, I push. Violet, Mom shouts. Listen to me, I yell right back. For once in your life, listen to what I'm telling you.
She draws her head back.
I forge on. For once in my life, trust me. Have faith in me. I can get the wards up.
There it is, the slight narrowing of her eyes that says I have her attention.
If we raise the wards, every wyvern on this field is dead. Every dark wielder is powerless.
I swallow, thinking of Jack.
Nearly powerless. Name one other weapon capable of managing that feat. Just go down there with me and see if it will hold power. Help me imbue it, I plead with my mother. If it won't hold power, then I'll do whatever you want. But I can do this, General. I know how. Enough of this. We're wasting time.
Melgrin waves me off, then walks toward Coda, his aides following after.
Wait, my mother calls out, and my heart stops. I'm sorry, General, Melgrin snaps, pausing to face us just outside the archway. This is my school. Mom lifts her chin. I said, wait. It's my army, he barks, and there is no waiting.
Technically, half of it is your army, Zayden says, his gaze pinned on the wyvern horde. The other half is mine. And seeing that you had no problem having my father executed, I have no problem leaving you to die if you refuse her help. Melgrin stares at Zayden, the color slowly draining from his face. That's what I thought. Zayden sticks out his hand. You want to walk with me, Violet?
Something in his tone, maybe it's resignation, makes me twine my fingers with his.
following him as he walks out of the archway past Melgrin and toward the dragons.
Where are you going? They're about to attack, Melgrin starts.
I'm buying her the time she needs, Zayden answers, and my stomach sinks. And they won't attack. Not yet. They're still waiting.
What the fuck for? Melgrin snaps.
Zayden's hand tightens around mine. Me. An excerpt from Recovered Correspondence of Cadet Liam Mari to Sloane Mari. You're going to love Violet. She's smart and stubborn. Reminds me a lot of you, actually. You just have to remember when you meet her, she's not her mother. Chapter 64.
What do you mean they're waiting for you? I ask once we're in front of Coda, facing an open battlefield littered with the corpses of wyvern and dragons alike. A pulsing ache of dread erupts in my chest. There's already been so much death, and we haven't yet faced the worst of their forces. From the look of that line, they've held almost all of their dark wielders back.
That's one of their teachers, Zayden says, his eyes locked on the Venon riding front and center. The one who escaped Resen.
He was at the cliffs, too. I fight to keep my voice as calm as possible despite the palpitations of my heart. I need to get those wards up now. They're the best chance we have of getting out of here alive, but each dragon can only contribute their fire to one wardstone, which means...
He thought we'd be at Samara. Figured we'd do the honorable thing and answer Melgrin's call.
How do you know that?
My brow furrows. Do us both a favor and don't ask. Taryn and Sigale prowl out past Imser, monitoring the threats both on the ground and in the sky as they head this way.
Heart pounding, I glance between them and the slowly lowering figure of the sage 100 yards away. He's coming to the ground. Shit, I have to be quick. If you had to choose to correctly raise the wards here at Besgaeth or ours at, I can't say it, not here, what would you choose?
Zayden's brow knits as he tears his gaze from the sage to look at me.
You have to choose. I only have the resources to fully raise the wards here or there. There's a blatant plea in my tone. I could never take that choice from you.
He's already given so much. He flinches, then glances toward the hovering horde and the theatrically slow descent of the sage on his wyvern, before bringing his eyes back to mine quickly. You ward wherever you are, which is here.
But you're home.
It's softer than a whisper. You are my home. And if we all die here today, then the knowledge dies with us. Ward Besgaeth.
You're sure? My heart beats like the second hand of a clock, taking down what time we have left.
I'm sure.
I nod, then slip my hand from his and pivot, facing down the biggest dragon on the continent. I need to talk to you.
Holy fuck, Violet.
Zayden turns, putting himself at my side as Coda slowly lowers his head, tilting toward the end to glare at me with narrowed golden eyes, because even level, I won't come past his nostrils.
You know what you're doing?
If I don't, we're all dead.
And I'd better be quick, because Taryn is almost here. I can feel him dismantling my shields. No rider can keep their dragon out for long if they want in. Coda's nostrils flare, and his lip curls above very sharp, very long, very close teeth.
You know,
it comes out like the accusation it is.
And you didn't tell your rider because dragonkind protects dragonkind.
A blast of steam hits me in the face, and Zayden swears under his breath, shadows curling at his feet.
Yes, I figured it out. I've already used Taryn's fire on the second wardstone. So if I power the stone at Besgaeth, will you come?
I ask, my fingernails cutting into my palms to keep from shaking.
This is the one dragon on the continent, besides Sigale, who doesn't fear Taryn on one level or another.
You don't need him as the black dragon for Besgaeth, Zayden argues. You have Andarna. Will you come?
I hold Coda's menacing glare.
We're all dead if you don't. The Imperium will end.
He huffs another breath of steam, softer this time, then dips his chin in a curt nod, lifting his head as Taren approaches from the left and Melgrin appears on the far side of Coda's foreleg.
You court death?
Taren asks, pushing past my shields.
I needed to confirm a secret that isn't mine to share, I answer. Please don't push.
Taren's talons flex in the icy slush beside me.
I turn to Zayden. I don't want to leave you, and I have about a million questions as to why you think they're coming for you, but if I don't, every fiber of my being rebels at the notion of leaving him.
Leaning in, he lifts his hand to the nape of my neck. You and I both know you can't raise the wards and stay to fight. When we were in Resen, I held them back while you fought. I trusted you to handle yourself. Now, trust me to handle myself while you get the wards up before more people die. End this. He kisses me hard and quick, then looks at me like this will be the last time he ever sees me.
I love you.
Oh, gods. No, I refuse to accept the goodbye in his tone. You will stay alive, I order Zayden, then glance to the waiting horde, the figure of the sage who is nearly to the ground, taking his time, as if this is all a game he's already won, and finally to Taren. Stay with him. Taren growls, raising his lip over his fangs. Stay with him for me. Don't you dare let him die. Turning on my heel, I break into a run without saying goodbye to Zayden. Farewells aren't needed when I'll see him shortly, because there's no chance I'm going to fail. The Flyers want to fight, I say to Melgrin. Let them. I pretend I haven't been in battle for the last 2 hours, haven't wielded to exhaustion, haven't pushed my body to the breaking point, and run. Cut the storm so the griffins can fly! I shout at my mother as I pass by, sprinting under the archway. Fuck her permission or her understanding. If the wardstone can hold power, I'll imbue it on my own. My arms pump and I force my legs to move, despite the jarring pain in my knees. I run through the courtyard, dodging infantry squads, and I run up the central steps. I run through the open door and down the hall with a pounding heart and burning lungs. I run like I've been training for it since Resen. I run because I couldn't save Liam, couldn't save Soleil, but I can save the rest of them. I can save him. And if I give myself even a moment to linger on the possibilities of what he might be facing, I'll turn around and run straight back to Zayden. Taking the spiral steps at breakneck speed has me dizzy when I reach the bottom of the Southwest Tower, and I don't waste my gasped breaths on our first year standing guard at the doorway as I sprint through into the tunnel that smells like Varish and pain. Move! I shout at Lynx and Baylor, because I remember their names. Avalyn, Sloane, Arik, Kai the Flyer. I know all the first year's names. They dive to opposite sides, and I force my body sideways, shuffling through the narrowest part of the tunnel. My chest tightens, and I think of Zayden. Zayden, and the scent of thunderstorms and books. That's all I let in as I force my way through the passage. And as soon as it opens up, so do I, pushing myself harder than I ever have. Racing down the rest of the tunnel and into the ward chamber lit by morning sunlight. Only then do I skid to a halt and brace my hands on my knees, breathing deeply to keep from puking. Does it work? I ask, looking up at the stone that is miraculously in one piece and standing where it should be. Damn, Sorengale, I don't think I've ever seen you run that fast. Arik lifts his brows. Here, Brennan stumbles out from next to Arik, his reddish-brown waves damp with sweat, and the first year catches him, slinging his arm over his shoulder to keep my brother standing. It took everything I had to mend it. Will it hold power? I ask, forcing myself to stand through the nausea. Try, Brennan suggests. If it doesn't, this was all for nothing. Every second counts as I step up to the stone. It looks exactly how it did when we arrived last night, with the exception of the powerful hum of energy and the flames. Looks just like ours did before we imbued and fired it, Brennan observes. Right, except this stone was actually on fire when we got here, I tell him, lifting my hand to the black iron.
Iron doesn't catch fire, Brennan argues.
Tell that to the wardstone, I counter.
Without a conduit, this is harder than I imagined. But I have to know. Opening up the archives door again, I welcome Taren's power in a focused trickle, just like Felix taught me.
But instead of powering the conduit, I rest my fingertips on the wardstone and let it flow.
How long did it take for three to imbue the wardstone at home? Brennan asks.
Weeks, I answer, my fingers tingling painfully, like they've just had circulation restored after a lengthy period of numbness, and I watch with more than a little satisfaction when energy streams past the tips. I pull my hand back an inch, just enough to see the white-blue strands connect my fingertips to the stone, and then I increase the power. Heat prickles my skin, and I push myself to the edge to imbue, which isn't as far as I'd like it to be after hours of wielding. Sweat pops on my forehead, and my skin flushes red.
We don't have weeks, Brennan says softly, as though talking to himself.
I know. Roars sound in the distance, and I look up through the chamber's opening to the sky so far above us. My throat closes at the sight of gray clashing with green, with orange. My squad is up there fighting without me. Zayden is battling at the gates. We're out of time. I cut my power, then rest my palm on the stone. There's a tiny vibration, like the ripple of water after a pebble has been skipped into a vast lake. We don't have enough pebbles. It can hold power, but we don't have enough riders who can imbue down here.
I'll have Marb put the word out, Brennan says, and we both look skyward when a flash of red is quickly followed by one of gray.
We need every rider who can make it. But who the hell is going to stop fighting and risk the battle on a hunch? My heart careens. It looks exactly like what my mother warned us not to let happen. A full-on melee. A dark shape moves at the top edge of the chamber, and I lower my shields for the first time since speaking to Jacinia. Get down here, I say to Endarna, walking around to the back of the stone so no one coming to help imbue will see her. I am not fond of pits. Now! There's no room for argument in my tone. I put my hand on the stone and call my power to rise while she descends, blackening out the sun momentarily on her way down, where no one else can see. Power flows out of me in a steady drip, buzzing the ends of my fingertips as I feed it into the stone. She lands, sticking to the shadows the morning light doesn't yet touch. Why didn't you tell me? Her golden eyes blink in the darkness. Tell you what? I know. I shake my head at her. I should have known earlier. The second I saw you after Resin. I knew something was different about the sheen of your scales, but I figured I'd never been around an adolescent, so what would I know? Different. She cocks her head to the side and steps out of the darkness, her scales shifting from midnight black to a shimmering, deep purple. That's exactly how I've always felt. It's why you feel like you don't fit in with the other adolescents, I note, my hands shaking as I hold the power steady, giving the stone what I can until others arrive to help. It's why you were allowed to bond. Gods, you told me yourself, but I thought you were just being... an adolescent? She challenges, flaring her nostrils. Nodding, I try to ignore the sounds of battle high above so I can concentrate on saving us, even as anger barrels down the bond from Tarn and Fury. I can't think about what Zayden's doing. I should have listened when you said you were the head of your own den. That's why no one could fight your right of benefaction last year. Why the Empyrean allowed a juvenile to bond. Say it. Don't just guess, she demands. Even a slow breath won't calm my racing heart. Your scales aren't really black. No. Even now, her scales are changing, taking on the grayish hue of the stone around us. But he is, and I so badly want to be just like him.
Tarn, it's not hard to guess.
He doesn't know. Only the elders do. She lowers her head, resting it on the ground in front of me. They revere him. He is strong and loyal. And fierce.
You are all those things, too.
I wobble under the strain of wielding, but keep my balance, keep the power flowing into the stone.
You didn't have to hide. You could have told me.
If you didn't figure it out, you weren't worthy of knowing, she huffs. I waited 150 years to hatch. Waited until your 18th summer, when I heard our elders talk of the weakling daughter of their general, the girl forecasted to become the head of the scribes. And I knew you would have the mind of a scribe and the heart of a rider. You would be mine. She leans into my hand. You are as unique as I am. We want the same things. You couldn't have known I would be a rider. And yet, here we are. 1,000 questions go through my head, none of which we have the time for. So I give her exactly what I wanted. To be seen for who and what she is. You are not a black dragon, or any of the 6 that we know of. You're a 7th breed. Yes, her eyes widen in excitement. I suck in a quick, steadying breath. I want you to tell me everything, but our friends are dying, so I need to ask if you are willing to breathe fire for the stone. Sweat pops on my forehead as my temperature rises. And yet I pull more and more power, my arm trembling with the effort to keep it leashed, keep it trickling instead of striking.
It is why I was left behind, she cocks her head to the other side. At least, from what I remember, it has been centuries.
Nice to see you, Cam. Your father's been looking for you. I hear Mom's voice from the other side of the stone. I'm a bonded rider. There's nothing he can- Don't really care. It holds power.
Mom? What the hell could she be doing here? She should be on the battlefield.
Fly, I order Andarna, my voice weakening. I don't trust her to see you.
It holds power, Brennan replies. Andarna hesitates, then launches, flying for the top of the chamber. My fingers scrape across the stone as I slowly make my way around the side.
You are pushing the limits, Tarn warns, distress tightening his tone.
I have no choice. Taking a few staggered steps, I reach for Zayden lightly. Not to distract, but just to feel. His shields are up, blocking me completely out.
He fights, Tarn says,
and my vision darkens momentarily before clearing again. With a view of the battlefield, I'm seeing through his eyes just like I had in Darna's last year. A swath of gray blocks out the world a second before the sky appears again, red flowing against the clouds in a stream, and then Tarn glances beneath him, watching the wyvern fall with a burst of satisfaction before he scans the ground, spotting Zayden near the edge of the ravine. My heart beats erratically as I watch the sage easily block each of Zayden's shadows with blasts of blue daggers of fire, then stops completely when the dappled sunlight catches on 2 blades embedded in the ground behind the staff-wielding Venon. Zayden must have thrown his daggers and missed. I know he carries a 3rd, but will he get to it? Because the sage isn't losing territory. He's gaining on Zayden, coming closer step by step, backing Zayden against the edge of the ravine. Green fire streams from overhead, and Tarn jerks his attention upward to Sigael, and the 3 wyvern moving in to attack, one blasting cherry red fire. Oh gods, there are even more breeds than we know about. Terror floods the pathway and my vision darkens again, my ears ringing as if I've just been hit. I blink and breathe deeply, forcing air through my throat as it constricts, and the chamber comes back into view, stumbling one step, then another, and another. I drag my hand along the slowly warming stone as I turn the corner to the front of the wardstone chamber, catching sight of Mom, Brennan, and Arik in the middle of a conversation I can't hear over the ringing in my ears. The power not only burns, but scorches my veins, my muscles, my very bones.
You're burning out,
Andarna warns, her voice pitching high with worry. The next breath I take singes my lungs.
Silver One, Tarn roars. The wards have to go up.
You both have to live. Promise me you'll choose to live. Because I'm starting to realize the price of imbuing this wardstone in time to save everyone I love. And it's my life. My power feels so insignificant to a stone this size. It would take all of Tarn's power, his very life, and I won't give that. But I can give enough that the riders who make it can finish the job. I fall to my knees, but I don't lose contact. I pour and pour, opening my archive's door and taking on the full force of Tarn's power, shaking with the effort to keep it controlled, focused, constructive instead of violent. Violet? Brennan's voice sounds from far away. Heat surges through me in waves as I push power into the stone, and my world narrows to pain, heat, and my racing heartbeat. Violet! Mom rushes to me, her eyes wide with fear as she reaches for my free hand, then gasps, drawing back a red, blistered palm. The ground rises toward my face, and I throw that hand out to catch myself against the stone floor and keep channeling. So what if my skin sizzles, my fingers redden, my muscles give out, and I surrender to the fire? Nothing matters beyond imbuing this stone, raising the wards that will save my friends, my siblings. Zayden! What's your signet? Mom shouts, but I lack the strength to lift my head. You can't do this! And Darna argues in a shriek. You have your purpose. Even my mental voice is a whisper. Maybe this is mine. Hasn't manifested, Arik answers in a panic. What about the others out there? Mom's voice rises. He starts to answer the ones he knows of, and I tune him out to stay focused on control, on lasting long enough to be the most use. Brennan hits the ground to my left, crouching a few feet away, his lips moving, but I close my eyes and reach for more of the power that's slowly killing me. You will cease, Tarn orders. I'm so sorry. The muscles in my arm lock from exhaustion. Finally, now I won't have to hold it in place. I'm entering the final stages of burnout, just like I had on top of the mountain with Varish. You shouldn't have to lose two riders this way. Forcing my eyes open, I stare at the pattern of rock beneath my fingers, and I get it. I finally understand why someone would turn to stealing magic. All of the power in the world is beneath my fingertips, and if I channel, if I take from the earth instead of from Tarn, I'll have enough power to save. You must save yourself, Tarn demands. I chose you not as my next, but as my last. And should you fall, then I will follow. No! Steam rises from my skin. Let go! And Darna pleads, and the rush of air in the chamber paired with the slight tremble of the ground tells me she's landed. I won't do it! Sloane's shout echoes off the walls and breaks through the haze. Inch by painful inch, I force myself to raise my head just in time to see Brennan's eyes widen and Mom's boot rising toward my shoulder. She makes impact softly, and before I can open my mouth, she kicks with her full strength, sending me sprawling across the chamber floor and breaking my hold on the wardstone. Power flies into the air with the crack of lightning as I hit my back, and a scream tears from my throat, the sound echoed by Brennan as his face fills my vision, and he grasps my hand. Cool relief streaks up my arm, the burn fading, my muscles mending from the strain and releasing. If I don't cut the power, he'll die. He can't mend me that fast over and over, and the next wave of heat pushes forward. I shove the archive's door closed with the last of my mental strength, and the power cuts off. The relief from Tarn and Endarna is instant, but all I taste is the sour bite of defeat as I lie there, my brother kneeling next to me as he mends the body I've been so reckless with. And above me, I see a flash of green before the swarm comes into view, the sky darkening with beating gray wings. It's the only way, Mom yells, and I turn my head as my muscles knit and my skin cools. You can't imbue something this big in an instant, not without hundreds of riders, which we don't have. If you want to save your friends, you'll do this, she shouts at Sloane, her fingers wrapped around the first year's wrist as she drags her to the wardstone. Mom, I croak, but she doesn't answer. You're a Mari, Mom says to Sloane. Yes. Her bright blue eyes meet mine, wide with uncertainty. I killed your mother. Mom taps on her chest. Mom, I shout. Brennan collapses next to me, pale and sweating, and I haul myself to my knees. I tracked her down and hauled her to her own execution. Remember? Mom says to Sloane, pushing her against the stone. You were there. I made you watch, you and your brother. Liam, Sloane whispers. Mom nods, picking up Sloane's left hand and putting it on the lowest circle of the massive rune carved into the stone. I could have stopped his death, too, if I'd just paid a little more attention last year to what my own aid was doing. No! I shout, lunging forward. Arik runs in from the side of the ward chamber, not only catching me, but stopping me. Let me go! I can't, he says apologetically. She's right. And if I have to choose between her life and yours, I choose yours. My life or hers. And Darna, I scream.
I'm so sorry. I choose your life too. You are mine. I can't let you die.
And Darna shifts around my side, moving forward so she's poised to step between my mother and me.
Oh, gods. No, Sloane is a siphon.
Can you hear them up there? Dying. That's what's happening, Mom says, her tone softer than she's ever used with me. Your friends are dying, Cadet Mari. Tirindor's heir is fighting for his life, and you can stop it. You can save them all. She picks up her free hand, and to my dread, Sloane doesn't drop the other from the stone.
Don't do it, I cry. Sloane, that's my mother!
This isn't happening. Maybe Sloane won't listen to me, but she'll listen to Zayden. I throw down my shields. Pain, agonizing, blistering pain soars down the pathway. Hopelessness and helplessness. It hits me from every angle, stealing my breath, overwhelming my senses and my strength. My body sags, my full weight in Arik's arms, as my mind fights to separate Zayden's emotions from mine. I can't think around the pain, can't breathe for the tightness in my chest, can't feel the ground beneath my feet.
Zayden's dying, I whisper.
Sloane's gaze snaps to mine, and that's all it takes. You don't have to do anything but stand there, my mother promises somewhere in the distance. Your signet will take over for you. Think of yourself as nothing more than a conduit for power. You're simply facilitating mine flowing into the stone.
Violet,
Sloane whispers. I drag my gaze to hers, but I'm not here. Not really. I'm dying on the battlefield, the last of my strength fading, burning, consuming my body. But it will be worth it to save the one I love.
Violet!
Fight! I scream down the bond at all three of them, shouting past blood and vengeance, wrath and fire, the sour taste of wyvern flesh between her teeth. You can do this, Mom says, her voice soothing.
Mom!
My voice cracks as she laces her fingers with Sloane's. It's all right, Mom says to me, her eyes softening as Sloane's body goes rigid. As soon as my power, Imser's power, lives within the stone, fire it. Raise the wards. There's nothing I wouldn't do to keep you safe. Do you understand? Everything was to get you to this moment when you'd be strong enough. She falls to her knees, but doesn't let go of Sloane.
No, no, no.
I fight Arik's arms as my chest threatens to collapse, to crumple in on my heart. Mom blinks in and out of my vision, blurry 1 second, then clear. I'm so sorry, Arik whispers. You're everything we dreamed you would be, Mom says quietly, her skin paling even as Sloane's flushes scarlet. All three of you. She looks down at Brennan.
And I'll get to see him soon.
Our father. My eyes flare as I struggle to break free from Arik. Don't, Brennan begs, shaking his head. Don't do this. He staggers to his feet, stumbling her direction, but doesn't get far before falling.
Live well.
Her head bobs, and her eyes roll as her skin takes on a waxy pallor that's an obscene contrast to her flight leathers as her chest rises and falls slower in a stuttered, incomplete breath. Brennan crawls toward her. Footsteps sound from behind me, coming at us at a run.
No!
I scream, tearing my throat, ripping into my soul. A distinct hair-raising hum emanates from the wardstone as Mom falls forward into Brennan's arms. Sloane staggers backwards, staring at her palms like they belong to someone else, and Arik finally lets me go. I fly forward, hitting my knees in front of where Brennan sits with Mom's body draped across his lap, his hand trembling as he reaches for her face. My fingers find her neck, but there's no pulse, no heat, no life. The only beat I hear are footsteps racing into the chamber. She's gone. Mom, Brennan whispers, his face crumpling as he looks down at her.
What did you do?
Mira drops to her knees and pulls Mom's body from Brennan, her hands furiously seeking what mine just had, any sign of a heartbeat. Mom! She shakes her violently, but Mom's head rolls onto her shoulder. Mom! I can't breathe. She's the tide, the storms, the very air, a force too big to be extinguished without ripping the world itself apart to the core. How can she just be gone? I'm so sorry, Sloane cries softly.
What did you do?
Mira yells again, the full force of her wrath turned on Brennan. Sadyn needs you, Andarna says, but I can't move. Tairn and Sigael wait with him.
We need to get them out, Arik says, and there are hands. His, I think, on my shoulders, pulling me up off the floor and guiding me backward.
Mira follows, hooking her arms under Mom's and dragging her from the chamber. Sloane helps Brennan. And then we're all in the tunnel. Someone else carries Mom. One of the first years? Mira's hands are on my face, searching my eyes as a shape blocks the entrance to the tunnel. Are you all right?
I couldn't stop her.
Was that my voice or Brennan's? Heat flares, intense enough to suck the oxygen from my lungs, but it doesn't touch us. And Darna is in the doorway, her wings flared to stop the flame that circles the chamber, flowing in from six above, and the one who makes all the difference. A pulse of energy runs through me in a wave. The wards. When Andarna moves, my gaze wanders up the mended wardstone to the iron flame that burns black on top. It's all that's left of my mother.
An excerpt from A Recovered Unsent Correspondence of General Lilith Sorengale. Most generals dream of dying in service to their kingdom. But you know me better than that, my love. When I fall, it will be for one reason only: to protect our children. Chapter 65.
Thud. Thud. The sound echoes down the ward chamber.
Wyvern bodies, Andarna tells me, pivoting to peek her head through the doorway. Please forgive me.
Her golden eyes blink. Forgive her.
She made a choice, I whisper, but the tears falling down my cheeks aren't quite as resigned, nor are the sobs racking Mira's body, and the blank stare on Brennan's face is anything but peaceful as he removes his flight jacket in slow, jerky motions and drapes it over Mom's body. I'm not sure how much time passes as we're ushered down the tunnel and through the narrow passage. The stairs are a blur.
You are alive. You will live today. You will wake tomorrow,
Tairn promises me as I force one foot in front of the other.
Zayden, I reach through the bond, but his shields are up.
He lives.
Thank you, Dune. That's gravity, right? He's enough to keep my feet grounded, to keep the sun rising. He'll put her body in the quadrant, someone tells Brennan. A dragon must have brought Mom's body out of the ward chamber. We emerge from the Southwest Tower to the sounds of victory. Cheers and cries of thanks to the gods. Infantry, healers, riders, and flyers alike clog the hallway with their hugs, but we make it through. Mira, Brennan, and I stand in the doorway of the courtyard, watching the celebration break into full force. None of us seem able to move. A face appears in front of mine. Brown eyes, brown hair. Dane. Violet? He lifts a blood-soaked arm to reach for me, then thinks twice. Are you?
Move!
Rhiannon pushes him out of the way, her grin tired and so very beautiful.
You got the wards up!
She cups my face with both hands. Yes. I manage a nod, my gaze skimming over her face. There are a few tears in the thighs of her leathers that might be stab wounds, but I can't tell. Are you hurt?
It's nothing, she assures me. You should have seen it. The wyvern started falling from the sky like dead weights, and the Venon panicked and ran. Leadership is hunting them down.
Good. That's good. I keep nodding. The others?
Riddick is all right. Imogen took a swipe on her side, but she's barely complaining. Quinn has a busted cheek, but I think it's mostly swelling. And I was just headed to check on Sawyer and the Flyers. Want to...
She studies my expression.
Zayden?
Alive, I croak, according to Tarn. She glances at Brennan, then Mira, before turning back toward me, understanding dawning as her face falls. My mom, I try to explain, but my throat closes. She... The Wardstone didn't have any power, and my mom...
Oh, Vi.
Rhi takes the step that separates us and pulls me in a hug. It doesn't matter that I shouldn't, that it's a shameful display of emotion, or that she wouldn't want it. I break down and sob against Rhiannon's shoulder, my breaths coming in heaving gasps. With every tear, I feel my feet gain traction on a spinning world, feel the first waves of shock start to pass. When I look up, Brennan is sitting on the steps that lead into the administration building, looking ready to pass out as he gives orders, and Mira is nowhere to be seen. What do you need? Rhi asks. I reach out to Zayden, but his shields are still locked up tight, so I drag the backs of my hands across my face and try like hell to pull myself together. I need to lay eyes on Tarn and Zayden.
In the front, Tarn tells me, and I head in that direction, passing the negotiations between Melgrin and De Vera, and pausing when I hear him laying out terms for our return.
An attack? A horde that big? Bodies dropping all over the kingdom? There's no chance leadership can hide this. It's only a matter of hours before every Navarian citizen knows they've been lied to. No wonder they want us to return. I'm not even sure I want to come back. I make my way through the courtyard and then the archway into the open air. Open graveyard. Bodies of wyvern litter the ground with a few colors mixed in. But I don't recognize any of the dragons I pass as I make my way to the looming shapes of Tarn and Sigael near the edge of the ravine. Are you harmed? I ask him.
You would know if I were,
he says, his head swiveling as Andarna approaches, her right wing trembling as she flares them just before landing. You two need to catch up, right now. Tarn turns a golden eye on me. Right now, I repeat. His attention fully shifts to Andarna, and I walk toward Sigael, feeling Zayden beyond where she sits guard. Are you going to let me pass? I ask her, keeping my eyes on hers and not the blood beard she's sporting.
You fought well today.
Thank you. A reluctant smile tugs at my lips. You did too.
Yes, well, I'm expected to.
She shifts her forelegs, revealing Zayden standing at the edge of the ravine, his back turned toward me.
Be careful of your words.
That's ironic coming from you, I mutter, but move forward, surveying him. There's a laceration across his upper back, but that's all I see as I walk to his side, keeping my toes a few inches from the edge, where his damn near hang over.
What happened?
I killed him.
His voice is flat, and so is his expression, the noon sun cutting away almost every shadow from his face.
Snapped whatever tether he had on me, and killed him. His body fell into the ravine. And now I keep watching the river like it's going to pop back up, even though I know he's miles downstream by now.
I'm sorry I wasn't here.
I reach for his hand, but he tugs it away.
I'm not. You saved us.
My mother saved us.
My voice cracks. She had Sloane siphon Imser's power and both their life energies into the Wardstone.
She's gone.
His eyes slide closed.
I'm so fucking sorry.
She killed your father. Why would you be sorry? I swipe at another tear that leaks out.
I didn't want her dead, he says softly. I could never want anyone you love dead.
Silence falls over us, and it's not the comfortable kind. Melgrin wants us to come back. I throw out there, looking for some reaction. Any reaction.
Then we come back, he nods. Horatia's wards are already weakening, and these are intact. Which you'll explain to me later, right?
His gaze flicks sideways at me but quickly leaves, like I'm painful to look at.
I'll explain, I promise.
Good, he nods. It's safer for you here. This is where we should be.
He drags in a shaky breath and laughs.
You won't be as scared under the full wards.
My brow furrows. I just fought an entire wyvern army, dark wielders, and raised wards, losing my mother in the process. Please, do tell me what could possibly be scarier than that.
You love me,
he whispers. You know I do. I grab hold of his hand and my stomach twists when he turns toward me but lowers his eyes.
What's out there that I should be scared of, Zayden? What did he tell you? What did you see? What could he know that has him this shaken?
Slowly, he drags his gaze up my body, and it feels like it takes years for him to just look at me. When he finally does, I gasp, my hand tightening on his in reflex.
No!
That single word is all I can think, feel, scream internally as I stare up at the man I'm hopelessly in love with.
Me,
he whispers, a faint, almost indistinguishable red ring emanating from his gold-flecked onyx irises.
You should be scared of me.
An excerpt from a missive from Lieutenant Colonel Nolan Colbercy to General Lilith Sorengale. We have tried every method we know of, as you requested. There is no cure. There is only control. Chapter 66, Zayden. Every note of Sigale's terror plays down my spine as I hang suspended mere feet above the battlefield, my muscles frozen, my power locked uselessly inside of me, Even if he let me go, I'm not sure I'd have enough strength left to wield. He wore me down for fucking fun. I was never a match for him. None of us are. Every nerve in my body screams from the pain of incineration, the heat from wielding too much for too long, burning me alive. But worse than the pain is the defeat. It hurts, doesn't it? Nearing burnout. The sage walks a slow circle around me, his blue robes darker at the hem from the melting snow, mere feet from the ravine I had to cross to prove I could cut it in this place. Magic does like everything in balance. Take too much, and she'll consume you for overstepping. I tear at the bonds he has wrapped around me, invisible strings of power that bind me like a trussed chicken. You strike, I block. You throw, I dodge. He sighs, dragging his staff in the dirt behind him, just like my fucking nightmares. Except the sweat dripping down the back of my neck reminds me that this is very much my reality. That Violet is beneath Basgaiath, fighting to raise the wards. That Taryn is picking off the wyverns tearing at Sigael above me to keep her from my side. What is it about me that fails the females in my life? So, I'm going to give you one last chance to make the right choice, so we can get this over with, the sage says, stopping in front of me and smiling up at me with those eerie red-rimmed eyes and spider-webbed veins. He retreats a handful of steps, then taps the staff on the ground. Gravity claims me, and I fall, passing my feet and slamming into the ground on my hands and knees. I told you once that you'd turn for love, he says, holding his arms out. And so you shall. You don't know shit about me. I stumble for my feet and fall again, landing on my knees as Sigael roars in pure fury overhead. I know more than you think. He lowers his staff and leans on it like a walking stick. Because you're a sage? I spit, grounding my feet on the hillside in Tirindor and reaching for my power. A sage, he laughs. I am a general. Fire races down my arms and shadows stream from beneath me, wrapping around the arrogant asshole's torso. Satisfaction courses through me in a high better than churm. Generals die the same as soldiers. I fight with my own arms to get them to move, but they don't obey, having gone into muscle failure long before he hefted me into the sky. Do they? He laughs again, wrapped in darkness. Come on, Shadow Wielder. Turn. It's the only way to save her. Fuck you. I throw myself down the bond and feel Violet slipping, burning, intending to... My shadows slip, but the general doesn't move. She's going to sacrifice herself to save me. She intends to die. My heart vaults into my throat, and I taste it again, the same as it was when I sat by her bedside after Resin. Fear. You know what will happen when you fail, the general taunts, flicking at the weak bands of shadow that curl around his throat. I'll step over your dead body and find her. Then I'll wrap my hands around her delicate little neck. Fury surges in my veins, the blast of adrenaline enough to solidify the bands of shadow and yank them tight. But no matter how hard I tug, he won't move. And drain her. I slam one hand onto the ground and clench my other fist. My arms shaking with the effort it takes to hold him there as I delve into the depths of Sigael's power and let the fire consume me. Hold him, she demands. But I can't. He's too strong and I have nothing left. But I'll be damned if Violet suffers the consequences. He won't get his hands on her, not today, not ever. The slush beneath my palm melts and I feel there's something beneath me. A steady flow of unmistakable power. You cannot, Sigael shrieks. I chose you. But Violet chose me too. I reach. My heart stammers and I gasp for air, jolting upright in bed. I check the back of my neck, but it's dry. No dripping sweat, no aching muscles, no exhaustion. Just Violet, sleeping beside me, her cheek resting on the pillow, her breaths deep and even thanks to the exhaustion that's left bruises under her eyes, her arm bent as though reaching out for me even in her dreams. I watch her long enough to calm my racing heart, my gaze skimming over every part of her I can see, from the silvery lines of her hard-won scars to the silvery half of her hair on the pillow. She's so fucking beautiful I can barely breathe. And I almost lost her. My fingertips trail over the smooth, soft skin of her cheek, spotting the tracks her tears left. She lost her mother today, and while I won't mourn the loss of Lilith Sorengale, I can't stand the pain Violet's suffering. And yet, I'm about to be the biggest cause of it. I love you, I whisper, just because I can. And then I climb from the bed as quietly as possible and dress quickly in the moonlight. Silently, I leave the room, then make my way down the hall and to the staircase, surrounding myself in the warmth of my shadows as I descend floor by floor to the tunnels of Basgaiath. I don't bother reaching for Sigale. She's been eerily silent since the battle ended. The doors to the bridge open at my command, as do the ones on the far side when I reach them, keeping myself wrapped in darkness as I pass the overflowing clinic where we'd spent hours waiting for Sawyer to come out of surgery earlier. I sidestep two drunken infantry cadets and keep walking down the tunnel, only turning when I reach the guarded staircase that leads to my target. The guard cracks a yawn and I slip by unnoticed thanks to the increase in my signet. Or whatever this is. The last time I walked these stairs, I'd just murdered everyone who stood between me and Violet. It's ironic that's the cell I ended up standing in front of now, peering through the barred window at Jack fucking Barlow. You look good, the second year says, sitting up on the reconstructed bunk and smiling. You here to dose me? Pretty sure I'm not due until tomorrow morning. What's the cure? I fold my arms across my chest. For the serum? He scoffs. The antidote? You know what I fucking mean. Shadows scurry in from the edges of the walls in his cell. Tell me what the cure is, and I won't send for the Reibstadt chest that will hold you in the air until you mummify. He stands slowly, cracking his neck before he moves to the center of the room, where the chair they'd tortured Violet in had been bolted. Cures are for diseases. What we have is power. And that, dear Ryerson, is incurable. It's enviable. Bullshit. There's a way to get rid of this, I seethe. His smile grows even wider. Oh, no. There's no cure. You can never give back what's taken. You'll only hunger for more. I'd rather die than become one of you. Fear flavors the words because I feel it. The power beneath the college. The craving to sate the need for it. And yet, you just did. Jack laughs, and the sound curdles my blood. All this time, you've been convincing everyone you're the hero, and now you'll be the villain, especially in her story. Welcome to our fucked up family. Guess we're brothers now.
The end. This is Rebecca Soler. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Iron Flame by Rebecca Yaros, narrated by Rebecca Soler with Teddy Hamilton. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold. Thank you for listening to Recorded Books.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this.